You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, we're still in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and having a great time. And look who we've run into.
We have run into Carlos. And last year, it's so interesting, we were here about exactly the same time. And it was election day in Puerto Vallarta. Well, actually in all of Mexico, right? It was election day, and they were electing a new president. And at that time, we had coffee with Carlos, and Carlos told us how he thought the election would go, and he was perfectly right. Talked to us a lot about what was going on in Puerto Vallarta and in the politics of Mexico. And it's really fun to see you again, Carlos, to be back after a whole year, and you have a whole new president, and we're seeing just a lot of new things in Puerto Vallarta.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back. It's very nice to have you with us here in Mexico again. And we're very happy with our new president after 1 year. Everything is running good. Of course, there's a few things on the road where we have to fix that. But, you know, we have a great expectations, and he's doing a lot of good things for the labor section, the labor people. They're reducing the payments to the people who have credits for the finance house, for the government. They reduce for the very low salary people, you know, poor people, workers like cleaners. They reduce to the half of the debt, the half of the bills to that people to pay the finance. And no more payments to the ex-presidents of Mexico, no more money to them. They already stole a lot of money from the country for a lot of companies. They're sold. So we try now to rebuild it again. Refineries and a lot of good things for the workers.
You know, it's great to be back to the marina. And, you know, Carlos, we've known you for 13, 14 years now. And we just see so much building going around the city. I mean, there's building all around the marina. We go downtown, there's building. So what's creating all this building, the rise in the economy?
I think they trust a lot on the new currents, the new president, the new philosophy, with a lot of respect to everyone's. And I think that's the trust, because it's building a lot in Puerto Vallarta.
Well, you know, and it filters down, doesn't it, Linda? Because we're seeing all sorts of things that we like to use, like transportation things.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting that Carlos says the trust issue, because that's exactly what has happened in America with trust, that because there is a financial type of trust in President Trump, our country is booming. And so now you can see that that's happening to you as well in Mexico, because you have a president that the people trust.
Yes. Yeah, we have a lot of agreement with you. We have a lot of expectations from the states, and keep a friendly relationship with us in the future, because we've been neighbors and friends, very nice relationship that we have for a long time. And I think we want to make it more stronger and grow.
And I think that with our neighbors on both sides, both Mexico and Canada, when the United States does well, then Mexico does well, then Canada does well. And we were in Europe last year, and Europe is doing well. And I love the new trade agreement. I hope our Congress
ratifies that
because it'll be good things for Mexico and the United States. And we should be close neighbors because we have a blended people.
Yes.
Okay, as we both know.
Well, yeah. Now, the people that are coming up from the south, from Guatemala and Nicaragua and those areas that are coming through Mexico and going to the United States, they don't even come through your area because you are really kind of off the beaten path of where they come. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, but that's what I say. Our president, our politics, our philosophy, they try to help them, to these people from Central America and all that. to send them back, you know, from Mexico, to send them back to their own countries, or try to help them, you know, to stay
in their countries.
In their countries. Right. That's the things in Mexico. Mexico, we have a lot of constructions coming. We have an example. We have in the south of Mexico, to the Mayans archaeology section, we are planning to do that. The project is on the table about the tram, the touristic tram going south, and is in the table. And I think it's going to give a lot of job, a lot of jobs to the people and more tourists to the archaeology sites like Uxmal, Chichen Itza, Palenque. And we have in Oaxaca, Monte Albán, is very interesting cities and culturals, and a lot of tourists, a lot of national tourists going there. And I think with the new project, it's going to be more Europeans and Americans and people from Canada visiting all that side, all the south side of the country.
You know, and I think that's something that we don't hear in the United States, Carlos, you know, from our media, from our news, about, you know, why it's important for Mexico to protect its southern borders. Because, you know, when you get a tremendous influx of people from Honduras and Nicaragua and, you know, San Salvador, El Salvador, you know, countries like that, of course, those people are very desperate, they're very poor, but they come in and they take away jobs like the ones you're talking about with these projects that Mexican citizens should be enjoying. And they never present it that way, the way you are presenting it.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes there is people, you know, bad people from Colombia, they come and stay in Mexico, and, you know, we never know what their plans are going to do. You know, but you're right. They bring things, bad things, you know, disease, you know, and drugs dealers, people. And it's going to be really good to stop all these people in the border in a human way, respecting them, you know.
Yes.
And, and send them back, or, you know, to stay in Guatemala, you know. But we try, you know, this president is helping that, you know, working in that, stopping the people in the border of Mexico in the south.
One thing I noticed when we came into the airport, and it's the first time I've ever seen it, there was a big sign about measles. So you are getting affected here by the measles as well?
Not really, not yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not in Puerto Vallarta or not in Mexico?
I don't hear much about that yet.
Okay.
But I hope not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're seeing some of the good, positive end results of what's going on in Mexico with the economy, and as you refer to it, the new mindset, the new philosophy of the president. And we're seeing new buses, because we've had old buses here for like ever. And we're seeing new taxi cabs, and there's a brand new, very large cruise ship terminal.
Oh, yes.
That's just, I mean, we can see it from here in the marina.
Amazing.
Being built. So there's some wonderful things that are happening.
Hotels,
here.
Condos, all of that's being built, which is, yeah, I mean, it's a big difference from a year ago, I would say. We didn't have any of this going on a year ago. I remember we were still taking that bus that rattled your teeth when you rode in it. So
yeah, it's you know, everything is coming together when you have we change something. Something is for good. Some change are good. For some other reason, they are not good. But I think that the country is, I think it's going to grow more, and it's going to be more safe with the new protections, with the new militaries, police. They have a different name. I forgot the name, but they got the militaries, police, modern something. It's, and also right now, the federal police, they're trying to complain about the new philosophy of the new country, the new president, and they are in Mexico City, you know, an argument. But I think the older federal police, they have to go. Because we try more in the new blow, the new younger people, with a new grow, with a new system, starting with a new philosophy.
You know, it's interesting that you're mentioning that with the federal police, and they're reluctant to change with the new philosophy, and they're arguing in Mexico City, because if you follow some of the news in the United States, we have a problem with our Federal Bureau of Investigation, our FBI, because it's from the old philosophy of the President Obama time, and we've had a lot of problems with the FBI, and our president just brought in a new attorney general who is starting to sweep away the old people, and hopefully we will get a better Department of Justice and FBI in the future.
Yeah, things have to change as time goes on, and you know, you need some new blood and some new ideas.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have. I wasn't too sure about a year ago. I wasn't too sure of who would be the best president. It's not my country. I don't follow it. But we did talk to a lot of people here, and almost to a person, everybody wanted this change. So I'm just really pleased to see. And I understood last night from our taxi driver that there's a huge influx of people here as well, that you're growing as a city.
Yeah. Is the city been coming, you know, when I moved here from Cancun in the 1994, what's kind of like a
sleepy town.
But now I think everything is growing, modern, and we respect, we safe, you know, everything very safe all the time, and good service.
I was just going to ask you that question. Is it still a safe city? Because we've always known it to be a safe city. Is it still safe? Is there still very little crime?
Puerto Vallarta, we're very lucky compared to the other cities like Acapulco, like Cabo or Cancun. You know, I feel very proud to move here in the 94, 95. And nothing happens to me and people that I know. You know, it's been saving. And I think with Cancun, it will change because it's a new team in the Quintana Roo, Cancun,
okay.
All that area.
Yeah.
Is different team. It's the new one, Morena.
Okay.
We call it Morena. No more green team, no more PRI.
And you're referring to political parties, right?
Yes.
So the PRI, the green team are all political parties
in
Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, I want to bring up a couple of things. First of all, you know, Linda and I, being here 13, 14 years, and we can walk any place, any time of the day or night, and we've never had a problem, nor have we ever seen a problem here,
no.
And that's why we love it. And in the United States, Carlos, so you know, because there are some problems in other cities, you know, people think that every, you know, city in Mexico has a problem, and that's just not true at all, because Puerto Vallarta is, in fact, one of the safest cities, if not the safest city, you know, in all of Mexico. And it has such beauty. And my God, us being foodies, we eat at all the wonderful restaurants. We've gone out to restaurants with you. We've had a wonderful time here.
Well, I would say that, Carlos, that the food in this town, I mean, you live here, so it probably doesn't resonate as much as when we travel all over in the world. This town has really the best food of anywhere that we go in the world. And the only other city that I would say is close is Florence, Italy. You know, we love the Italian food. But I will tell you, the Italian restaurants in this town, they rival Italy.
They're fantastic. Hey, I want to talk to you just a second about the political parties, okay? So in the United States, of course, one of the things that's happening right now, and especially with President Trump, who we are big supporters of because he really has moved our country forward, but there is a lot of resistance from, you know, the opposing political party. Do you have the same type of thing in Mexico where your new president is moving the country forward, making changes, but the people that are out of office, do they argue with him and fight with him for political power?
Right now is I'm very, you know, happy to live these moments in Mexico, because after 80 years, you know, it's only one team, almost one team, PRI and PAM. They were together. They were the same for 80 years. And now the people, they wake up and they open their minds, you know, with a new philosophy. The 90% of the country, they vote for Morena, for the president AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
Uh-huh.
So mostly in Mexico City, all the politicals, it's 90%. The senators and I don't know how to say in English.
Legislatures?
Yes.
Congress people?
Yes. It's 90%, 95% with a new philosophy.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's great.
Wow.
So it's helping all the projects.
So that's why we're seeing such a tremendous boon in the economy right
yes.
now.
Yeah, and yeah. See, you know, America needs to take that lesson because we, in our last election, we still have President Trump, we still have the Republican Senate by just a small majority, but the Congress, which was Republican, went Democrat. So now we have a lot of fighting and nothing is getting done. We're at a stalemate. And so you, by the way that people voted, now have enabled yourselves to really move forward in this country without all that infighting.
Stop the progress.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we're having such immigration problems now that have just exploded is because our Congress, which is now Democratic controlled, is fighting the president on everything, every single thing. The wall, the funding for immigration, even the money that we try to give to the other countries. And I think Mexico, your president and our president understand that one of the ways to prevent the people from coming through Mexico and coming into the United States, which damages both our countries, is that we need to help their economy. We need to teach them how to employ their people.
And stay in their own countries.
So they stay in their own countries.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's an interesting thought that just occurred to me. We have all this controversy about the wall, and the Congress won't give our president the money. Every which way he tries to get the money, the liberal judges block him. But in reality, because you also have an issue in Mexico with all of these people coming up through your country, and a lot of them end up staying, taking your jobs and the resources of your country. If the two presidents would come together and each build the wall, I mean, together they build a wall, it would help both countries, not just one country. And I've never heard that proposed. And I think that would be a really good solution if they agreed, because with that border, there's no reason for these people to be traipsing through Mexico to get to the United States.
Well, yeah, you know, I think one of the reasons that's a problem is because, and maybe Carlos, you can help us, one of the reasons that may be a problem is because now the focus with the agreement between the United States and Mexico is to harden the southern border of Mexico, and we are seeing their forces go south, right, to prevent the access of the people into Mexico. And I think that's where they've decided the Mexicans are going to spend their money and their efforts. What do you think?
It's good. It's good, you know, to against all this, because I meet people already from Republic Dominican. It's like the way you say, they take some of our jobs. You know, but there is we don't really have too many right now, but maybe in the future we have people from Colombia, Republic Dominican, but that's most people from there, a few people from Cuba.
Uh-huh.
But I think everything will be changed in the new age that is coming, because maybe some people stay here with us and they don't go anymore to the States. But some people, they're still looking for the American dream.
Sure.
But I think it's with the last news from the new president, from Mexican president, they will stop people from in the border of Mexico.
Yeah, that's good. Stop. I wish that they would have done that a little earlier, but because our centers for refugees are absolutely just exploding.
But the so far I hear from people from Panama, Nicaragua, in the Central America, they got jobs, but the people, they're very lazy, because the people, they hiding from Salvador, the people hiding to recollect, they're recollecting the coffee plantations.
Okay.
And they try to hide in the people, but they don't want to go.
That's interesting. You know,
we got jobs.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I find is interesting that's going on in the United States, and I think you'll be able to speak to this, is we are starting to get more of our politicians on the left talking a lot about socialism in the United States, getting rid of capitalism and bringing in socialism, like you see in
Venezuela.
In Venezuela. And you know, what is your feeling about that?
You know, the socialist thing is good, but have to be the capitalists, have to be, you know, the people producing, making happens, studying, you know, because I meet a people from Cuba for many years, and they say, you know, not everybody doing the same, you know, effort to studying, to upgrade the quality of their life. There is people that are very lazy. They just want to get money for free. I think it's to helping the people like 75, 80 years old people, you know, to helping them, you know, because if they miss in their life because they don't make a good choice when they were younger, I understand to helping them, you know, people 80 years old. But to helping the new younger people, you know, they want to be only drugs on the streets, no work, no studying. It's not a good idea, I think that, you know, the business people, the business in the world have to be running good and in a good way. Socialism is good, but helping the people, others, but not the medium or youngers. The new people like my age or other new, I'm 52, but other people, youngers, have to be studying. They got to be focused in their time. Not to wasting time in the streets, you know, they have to go to the schools, reading, opening new jobs, you know, new things, technology. We got that. The world is coming, you know, the world is running in there. We don't have to be just sitting and getting the free check in the hands.
Right. You don't need the government to be your parents and take care of you. You want to, I mean, I always say that I want to fly as high as I can fly in life and do whatever I'm capable of.
Of course.
Yeah, and speaking of capable, Carlos, we've known you for a while, and, you know, as we've known you, you have been flying, and you have really, you know,
come
up in life and, you know, done the things that you want to do, and now you own Zepeda Sailing and Tours, right?
Yes.
So tell us about that. And by the way, we've got to get back on one of your sailboats again, because that is really a lot of fun.
Carlos, start out and tell us about your story. How did you evolve, and how have you become so successful in Puerto Vallarta?
Thanks God. It helped me a lot, you know. First of all, thanks to God. When I moved to Puerto Vallarta the first time in the 90s, I was a wash dishes man, and then one day I walk into the street and I find a friend, and he offered me to work for a timeshare company, and then I say okay, and then he said I went to the school for timeshares, and I have to study more English, you know, I have to approach the people and learn a few more things to upgrade my life, you know, to stop drinking, to stop smoking, and against my older habits. You know, to expecting free money, you know, expecting free things, expecting free food, free clothes. And they say, you know what, I have to study and to learn more about the six people that I see around me. And they say, because one day I would like to be like them, to have a nice car, a nice wife, a nice apartment, you know, and running. And I have to study more, studying. Investing more money in my person, you know, like to go to the schools, read books, and I'm very, you know, God helped me all in these things. Now I have my new t-shirts, my new maps, And I'll tell them, all my friends and people that I know, you got to stop smoking, drinking, you got to studying, you know, and working in your personal, you know, to act great, you know.
And you look great.
Thank you very much.
Really, every time we see you, you look a heck of a lot better than I do.
We get fatter, he gets thinner. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, we get older, you look better. But you know what? Zepeda Tours that's our go-to place.
In
Puerto Vallarta. We don't go anywhere else but coming in and seeing you. We've done so many of the things that you offer, the tourist, the zip line tours, the sailing, the whale watching, the rhythms of the night, every single thing. And you are the most honest and ethical of all the vendors that do the tourist things.
I don't want to stop, you know, to get my 70-80 years old to get my finance check from the government. I don't want that. I want to be a running success.
Yeah.
Like what I say, we have to go. We have to. The time is flying. And we don't have to let it, you know, to let it go, to let it pass.
You know,
because to get my points or checks or tickets from the government doesn't make sense for in the future. I think it's not make sense. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, one of the things we were happy when you went into this business because back a number of years ago when we first bought our home in Puerto Vallarta, we bought tickets to Rhythms of the Night, which if people haven't been to, it's just a beautiful experience way out on the coast. And it what is that area is where a movie was filmed, right?
Yeah, John Huston, he was living in Caletas, and that's exactly where they make the Rhythms of the Night. This company, you know, they've been coming good, a great project, and all very, very good. It's John Huston. He's lived there, and he made the movie of
The Night of the Iguana
So
that's a really fun experience. But we bought tickets from somebody, and then we went to get on the boat.
And they weren't there.
And our tickets were no good. So basically, Carlos, we got scammed on the tickets. And we learned that everybody just is in everywhere that you go is not honest. And we met you and have never gone anywhere else. And all of our friends and all of our kids that come down, we always send to you. Because we know that we're going to get exactly what we asked for. And an honest price and a great trip. And the thing that I love the most out of what we do here, I love the whale watching. And we're going to be back to do that this year, actually the beginning of next year when the whales come. And I love the sailboat. So you get us a sailboat and a crew, and we go out in the bay and hang out and either jump off the boat and swim or stop somewhere and eat lunch or do whatever it is that we want to do for that day. We could fish, we could swim, we could do whatever.
You know, what I like about you, Carlos, is you've become such a good friend of ours. We always look forward to seeing you. You send us emails back to the States. You check in on how we're doing. But, you know, every time I see you, you are always thinking of some new thing to make your business better. Now you're looking at yachts, for the whale watching, for the tours of the Bay of Banderas and everything. But you know what? What I have learned about the Mexican people here that we have met is when you make a friend of a Mexican, you have nothing to worry about because anything that you need, they know somebody that can bring something or do something for you, or, you know, you are all well connected. And you give us the shirts off your backs.
Literally, you're wearing one.
And I just want to say, Linda, have you noticed I'm wearing the Zepeda Tour shirt, okay? Which is, and Linda does shirts, Carlos, and she says this is an excellent quality shirt, okay?
It's a really nice shirt
that you picked.
The first thing I look at being in this business of printing and promotions, right, is the quality of, not so much the shirt, because the shirts are pretty standard, but the quality of the
printing
and the art. and really, really nice job. It's a really nice job.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we're just having a great time. And you know, we're having our coffee conversation this evening. So Carlos orders Mexican coffee for us. So we're sitting here talking to Carlos and drinking Mexican coffee.
You couldn't get any better.
So listen.
Yeah, and Carlos is, we are across the street from the marina.
Right.
Which is near Casa Magna Marriott. In case anybody ever wanted to find Carlos,
yeah,
that's where he is, in the marina.
And you know, it's really easy to get a hold of Carlos at Cepeda Sailing and Tours. And Carlos, why don't you give yourself a little plug and give them a website, because they'll remember a website.
It's www.VallartaToursOnline.com.
And so, again, it's www.VallartaToursOnline.com.
Yes.
And you'll find Carlos and Cepeda Sailing and Tours at the Marina Vallarta.
Yes.
Thank you
so much for the great coffee and the great conversation, and I look forward to seeing you more this week. It's just always such a pleasure to see you. And, you know, it's funny, when we walk up through the marina, when we first come into Puerto Vallarta, we're always looking for you. Always. There's Carlos right outside his door, with a big smile, saying hello to everybody.
Yeah, waiting for customers.
And, you know, we're just really happy with your success. And, you know, thanks for being a good friend. If we need a ride somewhere, you always say, you drop everything and you take us. And, you know, it's just a pleasure to know you and your wife, Amelia,
who we love, is
just a lovely lady, too. So you've got that American dream in Puerto Vallarta.
Yes.
The business, the wife, all of the good things that
you talked about.
And
the nice weather.
Yeah. And well, I don't know about the weather. It's pretty humid here.
This is the summer.
Nice. Yeah, we came on the Mexican vacation time instead of the American vacation time.
But you know, I mean, that's true for you, right? You did all the right things. You got your education, and you work hard. You work a lot of hours, Carlos.
Thank you.
How many hours do you work a day?
Ten hours.
Yeah.
And plus, I have to, when I go home, you know, I play a little bit. Chess with the computer.
Oh, you do.
I start doing
that,
you know, and read a little bit of books, and then sleeping by 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, but enjoying.
Excellent. Hey, Linda, how about some more of this fantastic Mexican coffee, and we'll say goodbye to Carlos, and be right back.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitz your news and entertainment network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I found it remarkable what Carlos was talking about with respect to how the Mexican politicians, meaning their legislature, their Senate, are now cooperating with newly elected President Obregón. And he said something like 85% to 90% of the Mexican politicians, no matter what team they're on, we refer to them as parties, and I think in Mexico they refer to them as teams, are in support of where the new president is going philosophically.
Yeah, it would be, if we want to do an analogy, it would be as though in our next election, we have President Trump and 90% of the Congress and Senate go Republican. That's kind of an analogy of what they did in their election in Mexico. And so everybody is pulling in the same direction. Now, what's interesting to me, Ron, is we really had that. We didn't ever have 90%, but we had that in Trump's first 2 years, and our Republican Congress really got very little done. They still had the whole Trump derangement syndrome going on, even if some of them were Republicans. And we really have been pretty stagnant. Well, now that we have a Senate that is a Republican majority by a small amount, and a Congress that is a Democratic majority, we are going nowhere fast.
And that's really true. And I think the United States could learn a lot from the way the Mexicans are operating right now politically, because as Carlos said, and I'd have to agree, the Mexicans, after 70 years of corruption, and especially during the last couple of administrations under Vicente Fox, and I believe it was Carlos Salinas was their, you know, one of their last presidents, the Mexicans were going nowhere, and the economy had stagnated. And we saw that even in Puerto Vallarta, which has got now a very vibrant economy. So the Mexicans have decided they like where Obregón is going. They're seeing success. They're supporting him. And the country is moving forward, where in the United States, Donald Trump and his Republican administration has to claw, I mean, you know, with their fingernails to try to move the country forward, because there's so much obstruction. And don't forget, when Donald Trump was first elected, we had our infamous Rhino Republicans like Senator John McCain from Arizona, who's no longer with us. And that really hurt people like McCain, really hurt, and Flake, yeah, and a couple of others really hurt the Trump administration. But it is the Republicans that are do-nothing Republicans and fence-sitters, and obviously the Democratic Congress, which are stagnating the United States and this Trump administration, when we could even be four or five times more successful than we are right now.
Yeah, a couple things that Carlos said really kind of hit home to me. And he was talking about how much better it is. You know, when he says socialism is okay, what Carlos means by that is not the kind of socialism that our progressive lefts are touting. What he means is you should help the elderly, you should help the infirm, those people that cannot help themselves, the government should step in and help. Other than that, Carlos does not believe, and we don't believe, that the government should help people. I mean, maybe a hand up at times, but never a handout. And his entire mantra is that you work and you educate yourself, and then you get the things that you want. And that is what we believe in the capitalism that we have in the United States. And, you know, Ron, in the places that we've traveled in the world, Austria, Hungary, different countries that we've seen that went from socialism to capitalism, what a huge difference in their economies and their quality of life. Why these 20 or so more or less Democratic candidates want to take us backwards in time is absolutely crazy. And the other thing that we spoke about with Carlos was about people entering our country with open borders, as these Democrats want to do. And he says that would be a complete disaster. Of course, we agree to that. He said you would have all these terrorists coming from the Middle East and pouring into the United States. You can't do that. That makes no sense at all. Everybody in the world sees that it makes no sense, except for our 20 Democratic candidates.
Well, I think he agrees with us that this is just a power grab by the Democrats. The whole socialist thing is a way to entice people with free things, but ultimately enslave them and, you know, grow government even bigger and, you know, have the whole cradle-to-grave nanny state. And what's interesting, and I brought this up when we were talking with him, is I see all of this as behavioral. I mean, we talk about it in terms of politics, but it's really behavioral. And Carlos pointed that out when he kept saying, look, there are people like me that started with nothing that wanted to be kind of like what you said, Linda, the butterfly. You know, be in the cocoon stage, educate yourself, learn new skills, rebrand yourself, emerge from the cocoon, and fly just as high as you want. But conversely, he pointed out that there are people in Mexico, there are people in Central America that just don't want to work, that they're lazy, that they're used to the government, entitlements and the subsidies, and they probably will never work and will never pull themselves up by their bootstraps. So you could take all the countries away, you know, and just work on the behavior, and you will see that people all over the world are essentially the same. You're going to have your doers, you're going to have your strivers, you're going to have your entrepreneurs, and you're going to have your people, as Carlos said, made mistakes in their lives, early in lives, and now are suffering for it, have no education, have no language skills, have no job skills, and have not pulled themselves up. And then those that, even though they might have a couple of those things, they just don't want to work.
And, you know, I want to also mention, we talked with another young man here, Jesus, and really said the same thing. He said that he left his small town in order to have a better life, and he actually got a visa and went to Seattle.
Right.
He worked in Seattle for a few years, which actually was not legal, but he did.
Because he overstayed his visa.
He did. But he did come back every 6 months, he said, and, you know, renew his visa, but he wasn't supposed to be working. He didn't have a green card to work. But anyway, he worked, and then he got a few skills, and he got language skills, and he came back to Mexico, and now he is successful at what he's doing, and he is also an upwardly mobile person. So you're right. It's no different in whatever country we go to. People are the same, and people that want to succeed and want to excel will work to do so, and they don't want somebody else to reap the rewards of their work.
You know what I found interesting about our conversation with Jesus last night was everything that you said was correct, but what I thought was very interesting and impressive about Jesus is that he's also gay.
Yes.
And so while he's, you know, working through all these issues, he has the significant distraction of trying to figure out, you know, is he going to come out of the closet? Is he going to be honest, you know, to his own heart and, you know, maintain that gay lifestyle? Because his parents are, you know, staunch Roman Catholics. He was very concerned about what they would think of him. And that's a lot of distraction when at the same time you're trying to pull yourself up. And I just, you have to admire a guy that is, that has this personal problem, this personal issue that brought him a lot of stress, but yet he worked through that distraction and has become very successful with where he is right now in life.
Well, he accepted himself first, and then when he finally did let his parents know, he didn't get the response that he had thought he would get. They love him anyway.
And we're very supportive.
And Mexico is a little bit different than the United States, although there is a thriving gay community down here in Puerto Vallarta for sure. But it is a very staunchly Catholic country for the most part, and a lot of little tiny villages. And people are, you know, they're probably a little bit more resistant.
Right, and conservative.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, anyway, he was wonderful. He was as cute as could be, as great of a person as you'd ever want to meet. And
very good language skills.
Excellent language skills. And just, you know, just somebody who, again, is reaping the benefits of his own efforts and his own educating himself.
You know what I've liked, and I like this every single time that we visit a foreign land, and of course Mexico is our favorite foreign land to visit. This time is to me remarkable because literally every Mexican that we have spoken to, and we've spoken to a lot, and mostly at the worker class, mm-hmm. taxi cab drivers, waiters, you know, construction people, people like that, okay, what we would say is blue-collar workers, I think, in the United States, and as well as an entrepreneur, a business person like Carlos, they are unanimous in their resonance with where the Mexican government and economy is going right now. They're staunchly in support of President Obregón. And
President Trump
That's what mm-hmm. you don't see in the mainstream media.
No.
Because I don't think, and I guess I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, but they don't put boots on the ground like we do. You know, they've got some sort of message that, you know, the mainstream left of progressive media like MSNBC and CNN and those networks, they, again, they're pundits telling you what to think instead of really putting boots on the ground and asking some probative questions and listening to the story of the people in the different countries, in this particular case, Mexico.
Well, and I will also say again, as we did a year ago, that people in Mexico that we talk to, and again, not necessarily people that we know, people that we meet, because we talk to all kinds of people, they are for our wall. They are not against our wall, as our media would lead people to believe. So it's really an interesting time to come down. Now, the other thing that they all say, first of all, their economy in this part, which is the only part that we're in, is the Puerto Vallarta area.
And that would be in Jalisco.
Yes. Is booming, and maybe much of Mexico is. I honestly don't know the answer to that. It sounds like a lot of it is. They're building all new tram, Carlos explained to us, down in southern Mexico, and for more tourists. And,
to go
and,
to the Mayan Peninsula.
Yeah, to right. come. But what I did notice is that they absolutely are not for all the people coming through their country to America, and they do think that we should have closed borders and legal immigration, just like we think.
And they want to strengthen their southern border. And I think Carlos was talking about a new law enforcement agency that's being created right now, maybe something akin to our border patrol and Customs and Border Patrol agency. And he says they really do need that. Isn't it interesting that you don't hear any of that on the mainstream media? You got to get down and you got to talk with the people. Everyone has got a fascinating story. And I found, as an American, how much you can learn from what the Mexicans have learned after having had corrupt governments for the last few decades.
Absolutely.
And they finally woke up. Well,
And they credit a lot of their economy to our good economy and President Trump.
And, you know, and that's what we've talked about before. So the United States, I mean, for all the negative rhetoric that the mainstream media comes out and these leftist progressives, these, you know, Democratic presidential candidates that, you know, chide and criticize President Trump for the new U.S., Mexican, and Canadian accord, the new trade agreement, that our Congress still hasn't ratified yet.
No, shame on them.
We really influence all of our neighbors. And you and I, who travel internationally, have certainly seen that. As you indicated, we've seen it in Mexico, we've seen it in Canada, but especially in Europe, when we were in Budapest, Hungary, and talking with the workers there and taxi cab drivers, their economy is thriving, going through Austria, Germany, going all the way up into the Netherlands.
Yes.
And everybody, and obviously last year in Italy, we saw the Italian economy, at least stable where it had been going down. So not really thriving tremendously, but not going down either. I want to talk about little AOC, who's 8-year-old Ava Martinez. And she's the child actor that plays little AOC. And have you seen the videos?
Oh, I have. I love them.
They are so funny. And she's been doing parodies of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, guess what's happened? The family have been getting death threats. And because of that, and we're talking about an 8-year-old girl here.
Right.
And because of that, the family has taken down, they're not going to let her do any more parodies, and they've taken down the funny video parodies that they posted before on YouTube. What do you think of
well,
that?
Well, I think that that's terrible. I mean, I just think that we're in a really, I don't know, a terrible place in some ways in the States, that that these people who are the people of tolerance are so completely intolerant that you would have to threaten the family of an 8-year-old child with death. And in the meantime, you have the real Ocasio-Cortez going down to the border and lying to the American people about our Border Patrol and saying that people were drinking out of toilets. That is so totally incorrect. The toilets are actually part of the whole plumbing, the way that they have it set up, is that there is a water fountain attached to that same plumbing, to the toilet. Not the toilet water, by the way, but fresh water. And this is not anything that she saw. She just made this up and put it out, and people believe it. And it makes me really mad.
Well, this is a woman that is a total fraud. She never even stepped one foot into the detention center. She was outside the fence looking through, and she was
yelling at the Border Patrol
and screaming, but never going into the detention facility, but faking a lot of photographs as if she was horrified as to what she was seeing in a chain link fence. And people actually took photographs of her fraudulently pretending that she was inside the detention facility and posted them on social media. But the point I want to make is, how thin-skinned and intolerant are you? If you have your Kool-Aid drinking, crazy followers that are as cowardly and intolerant as to threaten an 8-year-old child and her family with death threats, why are you not saying anything to your followers? Why can't you take a little parody? You can dish it out, but you can't take it.
Well, have you ever seen Saturday Night Live and the Trump parodies?
Of course.
Parodies on Sarah
Palin,
Sanders,
and everybody.
And all of the Republicans, the parodies are absolutely despicable on there. And yet you have an 8-year-old child who's got some really hilarious little parodies.
Funny.
And nothing, nothing off color, nothing dangerous. And yet that's who people want to threaten. And this family has to worry about their lives because of this. It is just despicable.
And so AOC sees herself as the new left of progressive socialist leader of the Democratic Party, seeking to unseat Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic Speaker of the House now, because they're the majority, and demonstrates no leadership with her own base.
Here's a person who's a bartender who cannot pay her own bills, her own rent, at the time, and for some unknown reason, the people of Queens, what are you people in Queens thinking, elected her. And here's another one, her buddy Ilhan Omar, who also is saying that we should get rid of Border Patrol entirely, that they are some sort of organization of terror to people. And I mean, it's just so irresponsible.
Well, but that's what you're getting these days. Hey, how about President Trump walking into North Korea? And I mean, I just find that amazing.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I guess that it was a good photo op. I don't know what we gained from it.
It's a gesture.
Yeah, and then right after that, we are lambasted by Kim Jong-un, I guess, for our restrictions on them.
Right. Well, not exactly by him. I'm sure he's putting that forward, but by his people.
Oh, okay.
Okay. By his media, which, by the way, the day that Trump and Kim were together, just 20 or 30 feet into the North Korean side at the demilitarized zone there, they were just posting that all over, the news.
Sure.
And social media as this tremendous step forward. And literally the very next day, now they're blasting President Trump. And they're saying that President Trump is speaking with a forked tongue. No, he's not. President Trump has been very, very transparent, and he's been very focused on exactly what the United States posture is with respect to North Korea. And that is, if we need to put sanctions on them to force them to denuclearize. And what the North Koreans are angry about is because of the methods of our sanctions, the primary one being refined petroleum products, which means, guess what? Gas. And North Korea, because they don't have any oil, they don't do any refining themselves, they can't operate as a government without gasoline. And that's what they're angry about.
Well, the sanctions are hurting, and they don't like it. But yet they're not willing to do the things that would lift those sanctions. And Kim Jong-un has that ability.
To do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Anytime he wants, he just has to do the things that are required to lift the sanctions. And the same thing with Iran. They have to do the things to lift the sanctions, and they're not doing them. So the sanctions are not getting lifted. And, you know, I love this about President Trump is that he does what he says he's going to do, and he holds to it. It's not any of this wishy-washy stuff that we had with Obama and Biden, you know, saying, well, we're going to do this, but okay, well, you crossed the red line, and we'll let it go this time, and, you know, no.
Or these 150 billion dollar, literally, you know, payoffs that, you know, took, you know, funded terrorism for the last few years since Obama and Biden did that.
Now, what could we have done in our country with that money?
Well, no, exactly. You know? But the other thing is, this is not unilateral. These sanctions are not unilateral on the part of the United States. Yes, we're spearheading them, but all of these sanctions are in agreement with the United Nations right now. It's only been China and Russia, who are, of course, supporters of the communist regime in North Korea, that have been against it. And this is absolutely the peaceful way and diplomatic way of trying to force a belligerent country into denuclearization. We simply cannot have a North Korea nor an Iran that has nuclear weapons. And you know what? The last thing I want to talk about is, and this is kind of funny, Donald Trump Jr. scolding Nike for canceling the production of the colonial flag.
The Betsy Ross shoe,
because Colin Kaepernick, the anti-American NFL, you know, used to be with the 49ers and stuff.
Knee taker,
Colin Kaepernick, didn't like it. And so what Donald Trump Jr. did is he got someone to put together a graphic of a Nike shoe with a hammer, with a communist hammer and sickle on the side of it. And I saw it. You got to look it up, Linda. It's funny as hell. And he said, this is the shoe that Nike needs to produce, in tongue-in-cheek and scolding them for that cowardly way and unpatriotic way of giving in to a knee taker.
Well, shame on Nike for listening to Colin Kaepernick at all for any of this. He is not the role model that Nike should be listening to. And, you know, this is all about the almighty dollar. But, you know, when you take that flag of that era, it meant something at that time. It's a piece of our history. And you capitulate to a guy who is really against America, and just shame on Nike.
So we've had a wonderful evening talking with Carlos and talking politics and talking about Mexico and the vibrant economy and, you know, sort of switching it up and talking about a few other things. The Mexican coffee tonight, as provided by Carlos, was fantastic.
Your coffee
tonight back in the condo has been amazing. And are you ready to hit the sack?
I think so.
Well, buenas noches.
Buenas noches.